to Pop the Question, a podcast that exists at the intersection of pop culture and academia. We sit down and talk about our favorite stuff through the lenses of what we do and who we are. From Pannoni Honors College at Drexel University, Dr. Melinda Lewis here. I'm your host.
I'm here with Dr. Not Gonna Say, TikTok's very own When Nerds Teach, who has become a firm foundation of teacher talk with, at this point, 118,000 followers. And she's my very good friend. And we're going to talk about teaching, social media, and everything in between. Hi, Dr. Not Gonna Say.
Hey, Dr. Lewis.
How long have you been teaching?
This is my 15th year.
I know that your mom's a teacher.
Yeah.
Was it just to be more like your mom?
100%. You've met my mom.
Which, in fairness, who wouldn't want to be your mom?
Let me tell you, I'm going to go back to how I started, but also let me say that when people meet me now, some of them have worked with my mom, which does not work in my favor because I have to tell them that, like, I'm not her. And to really lower their expectations. Because you know my mom. Like, she's like an angel.
She's the best.
And I'm like, I got a little too much truck driver in me. Like, I need you to temper what you're thinking. Anywho, yeah. So I actually went to special education first. Because that's what she taught. Mm-hmm. And I worked on the other side of the state. And then I came back to Western PA. Mm-hmm. Back to my home.
So the curriculum's on the desk. Mm-hmm. And do you have any questions?
Yeah, when's lunch?
The children just had their lunch. Is there anything else you need?
I'm a teacher. All I need are minds for molding.
All right, then. Well, thanks again. You saved the day.
I knew I wanted to be a teacher from my sixth grade teacher. Mm. She also ended up being one of my college professors in my doctoral program. Mm-hmm. And she was amazing. You knew that she cared about you, yet her expectations were really high. So we felt loved and we learned a lot. Mm. After that, I was like, I'm going to be a teacher. Hands down, I'm going to do it. So I've taught so many different things. I've done gen ed. I was a math coach at one point. But now I'm in middle school and I just feel like, how have I not been here this whole time? I used to be elementary.
Yeah.
And this age group is just, they're great.
I think it's really fascinating that when you realized you wanted to be a teacher is around the same age that you're teaching today.
I know.
Yeah. So it's like a true full circle moment. But I also remember you saying when you started teaching middle school, like, I finally feel like I have clicked with the people that I should be with because One, I think they're so cool. And also we're into a lot of the same things.
You know, I run anime club.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know that, but you should.
I do.
And I'm their queen. And that's great. But sadly for them, I'm also a teacher. So I'm like trying to like, here's the thing about middle school. If I can get them to find their group, like, I don't know how you and I found our group.
Oh, I glommed onto your group. So
yeah, that's fine.
Whatever. Yeah.
You were an update. If I can get these kids to find their group before they go to the high school, it's so much easier for them.
Yeah.
So with Anime Club, my goal was to like bring them all together and like intermingle them. But also now I try to make them like interact with people they haven't met before. They hate me for that. So I just step back because I was like, well, I can't make this like a life lesson for you. I guess we can just do something else.
Now it's time for the highlight of the day. Star history teacher Ashley Ferguson has been running up them test scores over at Vince Clortho High.
Okay.
Woo!
Confederate forces fired first. Can anyone tell me where this battle took place?
Now, look at this. She looks left, then right, looks past the students with their arms up in the air, spots Max near the back, sees that even though his hand isn't up, he's engaged.
Max?
It was Fort Sumter.
That's right.
Oh, come on. See what she did there? She's bringing an introvert into the discussion, y'all. That's a teacher of the year play right there.
That's right, Boyd. You know, the confidence gained by Max by answering that question correctly will enhance his performance throughout the rest of the year, no doubt.
Yeah, middle schoolers are just great, and they're funny, and they're smart, and they're creative, and they kind of still want to be kids, but also want to be more grown up, and they're not sure what to do with that, and their body is, like, jutting out and growing in different ways. But overall, once they know that you like them, you can almost teach them anything.
Yeah.
So I also know that like it's easy for me to be like, teaching's great. It's the easiest thing I've ever done. I don't know anyone who complains. No, teaching's actually really hard and I've almost quit many times.
Yeah.
It can be really rough, but I've just found my spot. And middle school science and social studies is it.
You know, you and I had a different kind of experience than a lot of people. And I don't know how this operates in middle school today, where we had a very like insular group.
Yeah.
But also we floated between a lot of different spaces, never in the cool kid space necessarily.
Yeah.
We would always be fluttering about, or we had different inserts into different groups.
And it really came from extracurriculars. I mean, yeah. So much of it came from like interest-based groupings. And I just feel like kids don't have that as much anymore. And the fact that they have social media where it's coming in from all directions and then you don't feel like you have anywhere to be safe, mm-hmm. That's horrifying to me because like, I mean, growing up, I didn't know what anyone was doing.
No, like, I didn't know either.
I found out like after high school where I was like, people did that? Like, I had no idea like what anyone did anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how my wife did it. We had 5 children doing distance learning. And my kids were good. They totally kept a distance from learning. We asked children to do school on the same device they play Minecraft. It's like holding a Weight Watchers meeting in a Wendy's. I mean, it was insane.
So you have the pandemic, which at the start of the pandemic shut down a ton of that stuff. And, you know, we just brought back clubs for kids to get together by interest as opposed to chronological age in the grade they're in.
Oh, man.
And it's middle school. They still don't have a lot of choice in their schedule because the state tests are still very general. It's like 7th grade ELA. Like the kids that I see doing the best socially are the theater kids.
Yeah.
The kids that stay after school. Drama club because they have their group, which then builds their confidence to be themselves no matter where they are.
You can't have much shame as a theater kid.
No, they're putting it out there and they are so excited and I love it.
Hi everybody, if you're just a boy girl who can't say no,
then you won't be able to say no to tickets to the McKinley Drama Club's presentation of
what
Oklahoma.
Oh, no.
No way.
So come on down, partner, and leave the ducks and geese at home.
Oh, what a beautiful evening you'll have.
Yee-haw!
Okay, tickets are $2 at the box office. Don't miss it. It's a great show.
How have you, like, arranged your pedagogy? Is it, like, just learning by practicing? Is it, like, the qualities intrinsic to who you are?
You know, it's funny. A lot of my grad school, not my doctorate, but my master's program was in behaviorism.
Mm.
And ABA and applied behavior analysis. And actually, from a lot of people on TikTok, by the way, TikTok can be very educational and also not.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot. It's made me question a lot of ABA and behaviorism and kind of swing back more into like cognitive and paying more attention to developmental. So I feel like that's made me a stronger teacher. So in that way, I've actually cut out a lot of my master's pedagogy. I was like, never mind. So applied behavior analysis, especially in the program I was in, had focused on working with clients with autism. So it was very much like Skinner, like all behavior can be adjusted via messing around with the antecedents and the consequences. I will say I do still use that. Like that shows up in like moment to moment. What is the motivation for this behavior? So I will say that in terms of pedagogy, that has still happened where I am still constantly analyzing, like, how can I give you access to what you're motivated by in a way that is healthier and a good replacement? So if you're looking for peer attention or you're looking for adult attention, how can I give you an avenue to get there that isn't screaming at me? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that's like a really tame example of what can happen sometimes in a classroom. So that's still kind of interwoven, but I've also realized that ABA has kind of been used to control a lot of things that may not necessarily need to be controlled.
Teacher, teach me how to read and write. You can teach me about biology, but you can't tell me what I'm living for, 'cause that's still a mystery. Teacher, teach me about nuclear physics, and teach me about the structure of man, but all your endless calculation can't tell me why.
Advocacy is probably another thing that really stayed with me for my doctoral program, and like kids really taking ownership of what they're learning. And I actually presented on this recently for a PD, and I presented in my doctoral program about it. Is this one book that someone showed me and it's Who Owns the Learning by Alan November. It's from like 2009, but basically he talked about audience. And I think this is why I did get into TikTok. If you know your audience, it's kind of like the algorithm. And I tell that to the students, like, if your audience is this person, I want you to think about not just what's important to you, but what's important to them. And that kind of shapes your argument. Now, one kid did ask me if that was manipulation. I said, who knows? I'm a Gemini. Could be in there. But so what could they be creating that contributes to the community or even to themselves? Or can I at least get them to understand how it could help them? And I think about that when I make my videos. If my audience is teachers, my following started with a lot of new teachers because I was doing those like POV videos of like me talking to them. Looking back, it's like, but you know, whatever. I don't really give advice anymore to young teachers because every school is so different. There's no one fix. It's just like all the parenting books that get sold that don't matter because none of the kids are the same. But they make so much money off of selling it because who doesn't want to think they can have control over it?
Yeah. I would say, though, that your advice was almost always just don't worry about it. You're doing fine.
Pretty much, because that's what you have to do.
I think a lot of your page is about at least having one person give you permission to not be perfect.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is a very wide audience.
Yeah.
To be like, yeah, there is just no way to like build the perfect curriculum or be the perfect teacher, or be the perfect parent or be whatever. Like you have to give yourself permission to be type B.
Yeah. Who I am as a teacher, I used to be like the tough love one. Like, yeah, give me that kid. Like I'll make them understand. Like I'm going to show them. Well, they're five. So maybe chill out. So I think because I watched myself and also, like I said, had to totally walk away from what I learned in my grad program and be like, actually, a lot of that stuff I learned was probably ended up hurting a lot of people. Oh, okay. So your ego kind of goes out because you're like, how can I get better? So I teach life science and world geography. A lot of times the kids are already pumped about the subject. Like, I don't really have to sell it. Right now we're getting into like adaptations of different animals. Do you know how many of these kids grew up on Wildcrats? Like they're living their best lives. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it makes my life a little bit easier because it can be hard to make those connections, especially when you see all those kids all the time. When I taught elementary, your brain is so fried. I don't think people understand. And I know it gets thrown around on teacher talk. Like decision fatigue is a thing. Teaching is basically customer service in a store that the customers did not want to go into. And there's 30 of them and they don't want your product and they all want to talk to you at the same time. I can't say it enough. Like if kids know or at least think that you like them, things get a lot easier.
Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na.
Hey, it's your mom. I have a question about that podcast you do. Are you on the Instagram or the Twitter or the Facebook? You know, like if I have an idea for a podcast, how do I get in touch with you? Love you. Bye.
Sup, Mom? Yeah. So you can find us on all those things, actually. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just go to PopQuestPod on any one of those and follow. If you want to send us ideas, you can either go over to our website and leave us a message at PopQ Podcast, or you can get us directly at popq@drexel.edu. You can actually find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. I can help set it up when I get home, but then you have to promise me to rate and review. All right, love you. Bye.
So let me teach you.
I don't remember your digital life. I mean, we all had Zangas.
I did not. I never had a Zanga.
So yeah, like you didn't have a Zanga. I don't think you had LiveJournal. I don't remember you having a rich digital life. So I find it pretty amazing that you are the digital.
Well, I spent so much time in my own head. I didn't have time to put any of it down. I also don't love feedback.
Okay. Yeah.
So the idea of putting things online. Now I'm medicated now. So like I can now handle just not reading a comment. I don't care.
Yeah.
In high school, because I wasn't medicated until I was 18 for my anxiety, the idea of people seeing my stuff. Yeah, I had no desire to have any input from anyone ever. Mm-hmm. Remember, I took drama senior year and had to quit because I stayed up all night trying to plan every reaction I could have for the improv games. I'm not kidding. Like till 3 a.m.
I know you're not kidding.
Just the poster child. Forget that Zoloft in there. Like, what were we doing?
Hey, guys, for this next part, we're going to do something really fun. We've been studying improv all semester. So all we need is a word and we'll use it to inform this next scene.
Basketball.
Okay, basketball. Here we go.
Honey, why are you crying?
A kid at school called me a fairy.
Don't listen to him. It's great to be gay. I love you no matter who you are.
Thanks, Mom. That's important for me to hear.
Of course. Now go wash up for dinner.
What are we having?
Basketball.
Now I love attention.
Yeah.
And social media has just opened that floodgate. And I'm like, woo, I can get this from outside my classroom.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because you have teaching, which in and of itself is very public because you're in front of people.
Yes.
Also getting feedback. So much of the way that you treat teaching is about like reciprocity and making sure that it's not just a top down, but that they are feeding back into your like teaching.
Yeah.
That it requires feedback in order for you to be a better teacher. And then also you have social media, which is just all feedback all the time.
Yeah.
And so to move from like, I don't want feedback and I'm pre-planning to what I feel is like a wild west of feedback. And just unmoderated carelessness, I just find so incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big shift. I just set a boundary. Sometimes I post something and then I just don't look at it for about an hour. Mm. And if a comment, if I can see from the first word, I just don't finish it. And some of that is like strategy of like, okay, I know that if I feed into this, that's going to enable this person to do more. Mm-hmm. It hasn't really been a huge issue with me because my following is like not big enough that I get trolled all the time or...
Yeah.
I have to look through comments in case someone's saying something like absolutely terrible. So they're pretty okay. But I think I've learned the online stuff is supplemental in my life. Mm. If it were to go away, it's extra.
Yeah.
So I don't think I could ever do this as a full-time thing. Ever. I wouldn't make it. Mm. I don't have the work ethic, to be honest with you.
I don't know. You post all the time.
Yeah, but they're not like high quality. Like, listen, did I turn on the ring light for this? Because my lighting in my bedroom's real bad. Yeah, I bought that. It's real wobbly. It doesn't work real good. I don't even use that when I make them. Most of my videos are just me talking, like in my car.
But I would say that in an age where people are searching for the authentic, I'm just going to fangirl out a little bit. I think that's why people send me your TikToks, not knowing we're friends, right? Is because they're like, look at her. She's so funny. She's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've known for like 25 years. I get it.
I mean, here's the thing. I like making videos that are basically me just having a conversation.
Yeah.
And obviously it's specific to TikTok because I have an Instagram that I do nothing with. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's like, it's an afterthought. I don't really want to expand. So if TikTok ever goes away, so do I. Like, I'm not going to look for a new platform. And I think because the way the algorithm runs and because I've kind of tailored mine to be about education, you know, the people that get shown my videos are people that are more likely to relate to stuff that I'm saying. So it's just kind of worked out in this really good way. I mean, part of that is my plan. You know, you use certain hashtags,
yeah.
But I joke about my videos being low quality. I really do try to think about the words that I say. There have been times where I've posted something and then deleted it. Because I was like, I need to think about that a little bit more. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird because you play these games of like, will this do well? And why do I care if it does well? Because this isn't real life.
Yeah.
So like, how much thought do I want to dedicate?
Oh, teachers, are my lessons done? I cannot do another one. They laughed and said, well, child, are your lessons done? Are your lessons done? Are your lessons done?
Did you start on TikTok as an audience member and then say like, now I'm going to take some videos.
As like a lurker, yeah.
So like, how long did you lurk and when did you say, this is my time to shine, baby?
I got into TikTok right when the first closure happened.
Mm-hmm.
So like easily just like one of the millennials that was like, what is this, Vine? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Just finding a lot of funny stuff on it. I don't even remember who like the first teachers were that I found, but I was like, oh, this is a thing. And I had already been teaching for like 11 years. So I felt more confident. At that time, I filmed more in my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And you start off real small because, you know, you start off and your views are like terrible. And you're like, well, I guess I'll just keep having fun with it and keep making stuff, even though no one watches it, and just see what happens. Just put it out there. It's no big deal. And this sounds so stereotypical, but it's like, I didn't think anything would happen. And I think using the hashtags like new teacher, first year teacher, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was very aware of what audience I was going for.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of saw it as like, oh, maybe this is something like that specific audience will be interested in. And it grew over the summer when I had all the time in the world to do whatever. And for the longest time, I wanted to make no money off of it. I even made videos about it that I was like, this cannot be a job for me.
Yeah.
So I waited for a really long time. And then I got a couple of partnership deals and then joined the creativity fund or like creativity beta. And then it just kept growing. So I don't really foresee it stopping. Because again, if it goes away, I'm still okay.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine like making that my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'm going to do just influencing. I'm going to do, like, people are so sweet because they're like, you should do comedy. I cannot express enough how hard stand-up is. But, like, I get laughs because most of my day, the audience is mandatory. Like, I think if I were to do comedy, I'd be great at crowd work because that's what teaching really is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hecklers and controlling the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm good at. But to plan something for like 45 minutes, there's no way.
I've had enough of being treated like this, you know, feeling oppressed. I said, you know what, miss? I'd actually be listening if you was doing your job, which should be teaching the whole class. Simultaneously went, oh, my dear.
What has been particularly like surprising, reaffirming about entering into this like TikTok space?
I would never have had my mind open the way that it needed to be if not for TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And that influences my teaching because I teach geography.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge chunk of geography is current events and how humans are currently interacting with the land and with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very grateful. Do I think I could spend less time on it? Probably. I think I've actually probably gone down a little bit in my consumption of it, but it has brought so much to my life. So I see it as a big way to network. I do think you can get lost. I think some teachers on Teacher Talk have gotten a little too comfortable. I think they are going the vibe of like family vloggers with what they are posting because kids are not props.
Mm.
Like they are not your content.
Mm-hmm.
And that really bothers me.
You know, I think when I think about teaching, there's something that feels very icky to me about creating content for the sake of creating content as a career.
Yeah.
The idea of creating content and making that a sort of trend, because you have to like maintain your channel.
Yes.
That's the stuff that like, gets in my brain of like, this feels really uncomfortable, actually.
Yes. That's just such a weird line to me. I just don't feel great about it. Kids have to go to school. So them making you laugh is like a bonus, but it's not a thing that you then make content about, or like in a mean way. I've been tempted. Don't think I haven't been tempted. My kids are hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do it in a heartbeat. It's not about consent from them. They would be like, yeah, they'd be amped up. It makes me feel so gross because in that instance, they become props.
Yeah.
And they're not people anymore. And they're not old enough to really consent or to understand that digital footprint. And they have to be there. They didn't even choose to be at school.
Yeah.
If you take the time to actually just, I don't know, get to know kids, they are so cool.
I want
to
thank my like dance teachers growing up. I want to thank my choir teachers. Miss Brigham, thanks for believing in me. Miss T, you didn't like me, but you were good at your job. And thank you to the Academy.
I just think that being an influencer is so much better when it's not your whole thing.
Mm.
Because I make videos and it doesn't matter how they do.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about TikTok specifically is that the quality of your video does not dictate how well it does. Like, it really doesn't. And when I mean quality, I don't mean like, not even the jokes, but like lighting, the kind of phone you use, the equipment. Like, I don't edit. Mm-hmm. That's not what makes the difference for things to, quote, go viral. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's really hard to make that your whole thing. And I worry that when people first get into it and they get a couple videos that do well, they think, yeah, I could turn this into a career. And it's really just not that stable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that would be my recommendation. Don't do it unless it's just for funsies.
Well, I appreciate all that you do, Dr. Not Gonna Say, not just for like teachers who are, I'm gonna guess, the majority of your audience, but for students in your classroom and beyond, and like really encouraging others to think through their practices with thoughtfulness and intention and also compassion. And I think if anybody was to be an influencer on TikTok, I'm forever grateful that it's you. Yeah, I always knew it. I always knew it.
You're a part of it too, though, because the stability and friendship that I had growing up is what led to me making it through my anxiety and make it, like, having the confidence that I have. If I didn't have you guys growing up, I wouldn't be the person that I am today.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Not Gonna Say.
I love you, Melinda.
I love you. Bye.
Pop the Question was researched and hosted by Dr. Melinda Lewis. Our theme music and episodes are produced by Brian Kantorik, with additional audio production by Noah Levine. All of this was done under the directorship of Erica Levy-Zellinger, the deanship of Dr. Paula Marantz-Cohen, and the Pannoni Honors College at Drexel University.
I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about?